Psalm 126, verses 1 through 3 to start off with this morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to talk about a topic that I touch on in my messages, probably recently, but I really haven't focused on this topic. And when I look back at my messages, I think it's been about 2 or 3 years, so we're going to go here, and it's kind of a continuation of what I've been doing. It falls right in line, you'll see. All right, Psalm 126, 1 through 3. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Today I want to talk about a topic that is extremely serious in the life of a Christian. The level to which you possess this one thing will determine the quality of life. And in some cases, the quality of health. And in some cases, even the length of life that you live on this earth. This thing will determine whether you'll be victorious in spiritual warfare or not. Today, I want to talk about this all-important topic, very serious, the joy of the Lord. The joy. Did you feel joy in here today? I felt a joy. Right when the music first started, I could feel a joy being released in here. And we know the Holy Ghost was setting this up for my message. Amen? The Holy Spirit has given me more insight on this topic that I want to share with you all today. I received a word from the Lord a long time ago, many years ago. And just this week, he reminded me of it. And I want to share that with you. And I believe, and I'm stepping out in faith, and I'm believing this. If the Lord reminded me about a prophetic word from years ago, and he reminded me about it, I'm going to say he's probably getting ready to do it. That's how I'm taking it. Amen. Because I haven't thought about this word in years. The Holy Spirit has revealed to me this, that the joy of the Lord is going to flood the hearts of his people in a supernatural way. This is the word that I received years ago that he just brought back to my remembrance. Are you ready? The Spirit of God says that this is a season of incredible spiritual breakthrough for you, my people. Dreams, visions, supernatural guidance, and wisdom shall be increased to give you an advantage over your enemies. My favor shall shine upon your face like the noonday sun. That which has seemed impossible is within reach. That which seems, I feel the anointing just reading this. That which seems impossible shall be made manifest in the natural. The enemy has been trying to sift and to keep you from entering in the fullness of my joy. The traps that Satan has set for you to stumble and fall shall be brought to naught. I have given my angels charge over you so that you will not even dash your foot against a stone. I am sending forth my mighty angels and ministering spirits that shall usher in and bring these things to pass. I am your God. I am your deliverer. I am the God of your salvation, saith the Lord. The Spirit of God says that the enemy cannot and will not stop this mighty move. This outpouring shall surely come to pass. A river of joy is going to flood this place. A river of joy is going to flood your hearts, and the love of the Father shall be made manifest in your midst. Get ready. It is even at the door. It is even at the door of your heart. Open the door of your heart, saith the Lord, and a flood of my Spirit shall come in. Rivers of living water, yes, living water, rivers of living water shall gush forth. It shall gush forth, and with it shall come healing and deliverance that you have not seen thus far in your life. Woo! I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. Joy is defined as this: an intense happiness or great delight. It is a gladness of the heart. And really what joy is this. The Holy Spirit said this to me. Joy is a mindset of taking great delight in God, his word, and in life in general. Say mindset. Joy really is a mindset. Now, along with joy, of course, the Holy Spirit was talking to me, will come laughter. Say laughter. Like I said, this topic of joy, the joy of the Lord, is a serious laughing matter. All right? Now, the word laugh, I looked up laugh, and it just kind of gives me a little tickle every time I see the definition of it. So listen, the word laugh is defined in Webster's dictionary as this: to express amusement by explosive sounds, usually accompanied by convulsive muscular movements, especially on the face. I like that. Explosive, convulsive. Come on, somebody. We need the joy of the Lord in our life, don't we? Amen. How can you not hear that definition and not crack a smile or a laugh, right? Don't tell me you have joy in your heart and you never crack a smile or laugh. God is not against his children being joyful. In fact, one of the fruits of the Spirit is what?
Joy.
Joy, you could say it this way then. Are you ready? Joy is the standard, the normal for a Christian. It's abnormal not to be joyful as a Christian. We normalized not being joyful. We normalized not laughing in connection to the Lord. Come on, somebody. Having joy, gladness, and laughter in your life, it's not a negative thing. It's very positive. What are the alternatives? Sadness, heaviness, depression? Come on, somebody. In fact, a manifestation of your faith in God and his word should be this. Are you ready? Oh, the Holy Spirit illuminated this so strong to me as I was writing this. A manifestation of your faith in God and his word should manifest the laugh of faith in your life as a Christian. Say the laugh of faith. When the enemy comes along with their lies, you need to release the laugh of faith and speak the word of God. There needs to be a laughter. There needs to be a joy of faith. Amen? Your joy and laughter against the enemy is simply a manifestation of your faith and your trust in the Lord. Come on. Whatever you're going through, you can still have the joy of the Lord, and you can still have, come on, the laugh of faith. Because faith is a choice. I said faith is a choice. Therefore, joy is a choice. Go with me to Proverbs 17:22. I bring this up a lot, but I think we need to keep being reminded of this thing. It's a proven medical fact that negative emotions can cause sickness, diseases, ulcers, and negative things in our life. Look at this, Proverbs 17:22. It says, a merry heart. What is a merry heart? A merry heart, you could say it this way, a heart that's full of faith in the word of God. Come on. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. So a merry heart is contrasted with a broken spirit. A merry heart, a joyful heart, and then you got a broken spirit. They are opposites. What do you think the norm should be for a Christian? That's right. Very good. Yes, now we're getting it here. We're growing at Living Waters Chapel, amen? You've got to understand this. God created you and I to be joyful. That was his original intent, and that's still his intent today. He didn't create you to be sad, depressed, to have the wrong focus on the wrong things. Amen? The Christian should have and maintain a merry heart. And if they don't, there is a disconnection. Oh, I like that word. There is a disconnection or a short in the system somewhere. I said there's a short in the system. There's something disconnected somewhere. Listen to this. The word gospel, say gospel. The word gospel means good news. So there should be that the gospel, when you read the word, when you hear the gospel, when you hear the word preach, it should produce a joy, a cheerfulness, a gladness, and come on, a laughter of faith on the inside of us. You got to force, whatever, if you're being attacked by sickness and disease in your body, force yourself to laugh against that thing. The enemy does not want you to laugh. Come on, somebody. Someone says, well, I can't, how can I do? Force yourself. It's a choice. Amen. Start laughing. Because yes, there it is. It's popping off already. Start whatever situation you're going through, whatever's going on that the enemy has brought into your life to try to get you to stay down. Remember we talked about energy last week. You're putting your energy into negative things when you should be putting it into positive things. Now, how would you react if a millionaire like Bill Gates came up to you and said, hey, I got some great news for you. I'm going to pay off all your debt that you have. You'll be totally debt-free, and whatever you want will be yours. I'll just give you the money for all of it. Oh, and by the way, when someone comes against you, I'm going to turn it around for good. How would you react with that? Most people in a fleshly sense, they'd be excited. But that's exactly what God has done through his son Jesus Christ, and we walk around moping? We trust a Bill Gates and get more joyful if a rich dude would do that than the creator of the universe. We got to get our stinking thinking straightened out. Come on. Jesus Christ paid our debt of sin in full by his shed blood, and he gave us the Holy Spirit to live that life, a holy life, a victorious life on this earth with all these amazing promises. Amen? In fact, the word even says this, everything that Jesus has is ours, and we sit with him in heavenly places in Christ. We are blessed. It says we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. All, say all. See, it's a matter of your focus. It's a matter of what are you focused on? Your focus determines where you're putting your energy. I want to put it in positive things, amen? So that's what happens. When you're focusing on negative things, guess what you're going to attract into your life more of? Negative things. You start focusing on the positive things in God's word, speaking God's word. Joshua 1:8, meditate in the word day and night. Speak the word of God. Believe the word of God. What do you think you're going to draw into your life? The promises. Amen. Blessings, good things. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know. Do you know? It says, and we know. Yeah, we knew it. We heard it back there, but we haven't been focused on that. We're too focused on our little moping session and what's going on in our life right now. Are you following me? Listen, and we know that all things, not just some things, all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. So here's your part. You want God to turn your bad situation around? You got two parts to play. Two parts. Love God and stay in his purpose and will for your life. If you do those two things, he promises to turn it all around for you. Both of those are required for that to happen. That's why you can't fall into the flesh. Don't fall into the flesh. If you fall, God's saying, hey, I want to turn this around for your good, but now you're walking away from me instead of staying with me. I've told you in my word how to handle this situation, but you're trying to handle it yourself. Are you following me? So it's not that God doesn't want to turn it around, but we play a little part in this game called life. Right? We play a little game in this little play out here, right? We cannot lose. We cannot be defeated if we will simply love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart and put him at the very center of our life. We cannot lose in anything. Amen? And that should produce joy in your life as a Christian. And if it doesn't, if what I'm saying right now, listen to me, let me just get real practical, because I like practical, right? If what I'm saying right now, listen, I'm going to say it very slowly. If what I'm saying right now doesn't produce a joy, a hope on the inside for you, you've lost your focus and you lost sight, ready, of spiritual reality according to the word. You lost your grip on spiritual reality and what really matters on this earth. What I'm saying should be producing a joy in you right now. And if it's not, there's a disconnection that hopefully we can get fixed here today, right? I know the Holy Spirit's working right now. In fact, the Holy Spirit is probably bringing things up where you've been putting your focus and energy on that you shouldn't. And he's trying to correct that. Go to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Let me show you something here. We're going to go deeper here. The joy of the Lord. Notice it's the joy of the Lord. So if you want that kind of joy, it means your focus has to be where? On the Lord. It's got to be on the Lord because it's the joy of the Lord, right? Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. Here we go. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good. We know that Jesus read this, right? I believe it's Luke 4. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So here's one thing you got to understand. You ready for this? The anointing. What is the anointing? It is the presence of the Holy Spirit. The anointing or the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian will produce joy. It will produce joy. If you are not experiencing that joy as a Christian, there is. Here's what's going on. Because if you're a Christian, you have the anointing inside of you. You understand? If you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, you have the anointing upon you even, right? But there can be times that you're not feeling it because your focus is off. It doesn't mean the Holy Spirit left you. It means that you're not tapping into his grace and power and anointing. Amen? If you're not experiencing joy as a Christian, again, there is, you can say it this way, there's a dam blocking the flow of the anointing in your life. Where is the anointing on the inside of you? Someone yell it out to me. We are spirit, soul, and body. Where's the anointing? In your spirit, man. What do you think is the blockage? Where do you think the dam is in on the inside of you where it's hindering it from coming outside of you and forth through you? Soul, right in your mind, in your thought life. That's the shifting point right there. That dam blocking the flow is the wrong focus and negative meditation that's going on in your soul, in your mind, or in your heart, all right? You're focusing on something other than God and his word. You're focusing on the negative thoughts, okay? So the anointing on the inside of you is in your spirit, and what allows it to come through is, ready? A renewed mind. A mind that's renewed with the word of God. You're seeing things with a different perspective. You're seeing things through the word of God. You're not seeing it through these fleshly eyes anymore. What do you think the devil wants you to look at life through? The fleshly eyes, right? When we are focused on the right things with a mindset of faith, the presence of the Holy Spirit, it shifts the soul and the spiritual atmosphere on the inside of you. And then, ready for this? And then it shifts the atmosphere on the outside of you. Did you just hear what I said? For it to be shifted and to have the atmosphere shifted on the outside of you, it's gotta happen on the inside of you first. Remember, the kingdom of God is within you. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. The very nature of the anointing or the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, is to destroy every yoke and bondage in your life. Depression, hopelessness, and all of its kind. It should not be a part of the Christian life. It shouldn't, all right? And if it is, again, there's some kind of a disconnection there because it's not normal. We got to start making the things of God normal for Christians again. Right? I mean, how far have we fallen when we start to see, well, it's just normal to be doubtful. Well, it's just normal not to have, yeah, it's a doubt. It's just normal to to not have that joy. Stop. That's what the enemy wants you to believe. But the flow has been cut off. The wires have been severed. The spiritual pipeline has been severed somehow. Are you picking up what I'm laying down? I'm giving all of these analogies, right? Those things, the bad things, they're trespassing because we have allowed those emotions. We have allowed those thoughts to invade our heart, to invade our mind. And now, here's what happened. Are you ready? If you're here on Wednesday, last couple Wednesdays, and now because we have allowed those things to trespass, we've made them a normal. We stayed on that. We stayed thinking about those things. Now it programmed the subconscious part of your mind. Now it becomes a habit. Say habit. But listen, we are no longer slaves to the kingdom of darkness as Christians. We are children of the Most High God. Amen? All right. So when it starts to affect the subconscious part and it turns into a habit, what happens is it affected your belief system. Listen to this. Our belief system is what triggers our emotions. Did you hear what I just said? What you believe triggers emotions. You will express what you believe. Whatever's happened to you in life. Listen, all the experiences that's happened to us in life has taught us something. Every negative thing that's happened has the power, ready, to create a lie on the inside of us. Okay, a boyfriend, girlfriend, getting rejected, whatever, going through a divorce, whatever it is, it makes you believe a lie that you're not wanted. Hello, somebody. Right? Whatever it is, abuse, whatever it is, it made you believe that you're not as valuable. You're believing a lie somewhere, and that's within the subconscious part of your mind. So it's time to trade the ashes for beauty. It's time to trade in that mourning for the oil of joy. It's time to remove that spirit of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. Notice it says, put on the garment of praise. You put it on. I'm not going to put it on you. I put on my own. I'm going to dress myself. Come on, somebody. But listen, it's time for the Word of God to dominate our belief system. It's time for the Word of God to dominate our belief system. In fact, take inventory. Write down every negative thing that you can remember that you feel has affected you, and do this prayerfully. And then write out what the lie is you believed, and then find in the Word where it's truth and start meditating on that. Go to Acts 10:38. Hallelujah. Oh, such a beautiful flow here today. After all, it is living waters, right? We're not stagnant here. Acts 10:38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Jesus was anointed, it says, with the Holy Spirit and power. He was doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Who oppressed the people? God didn't. The devil did. Come on, somebody. Everywhere Jesus went, he released joy because of the anointing that was within and upon him. You understand that? He was preaching and teaching the good news, the gospel. He was focused, ready? He was focused on a positive message, and it caused power to be released. Do you see that? What do you think would happen if Jesus started preaching negative things? Nothing. Are you getting it? And here's what, listen to this. This is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me about this. He said Jesus was correcting. Listen to this. As Jesus was preaching and teaching the good news, Jesus was correcting the people's belief system in their soul. Did you just hear what I said? Every time you preach and teach the word of God in whatever way, whether it's through your testimony, whatever it is, whether it's at pulpit ministry or just talking to someone and encouraging them, what you're doing is this: you're trying to correct, bring healing to their belief system on the inside, the core part of who they are. Are you following me? Everywhere Jesus went, he was dropping joy bombs, freedom bombs within the bodies, souls, and spirits of the people. Jesus was on a mission to undo and to destroy, dismantle. Oh, I like that word. Dismantle the works of the devil. You know what he was dismantling, right? The wrong belief system on the inside of them. Remember, Jesus went into Nazareth. It says he couldn't do no mighty works there because people were too familiar with him. They were offended. Well, isn't that such and such kid? The people chose to hold on to their wrong belief system, and it hindered even the power of God coming from Jesus to affect their life. Did you just hear what I said? We play a part in this thing right now. You want to lose the power of God in your life? Start correcting your belief system. I don't care what Grammy taught you. I don't care what Grampy taught you. I don't care what Uncle Sam taught you. Hello, somebody. If it's not in line with the word, it's hindering your life. No offense to Uncle Sam, if there's an Uncle Sam in here, or you had a good Uncle Sam, right? The people, well, here's the deal. The people had to believe and act on the word that Jesus was preaching and teaching. Our healing services, you know, I'll be up here teaching and preaching about healing, right, and about deliverance. But if it's not impacting a person's belief system, it's wasting the person's time. That's why it says in Hebrews, I believe it is, that when we read the word of God, it's, what does it say we have to read it with? Faith. It says, literally, it says mixed with faith. So guess what? You can read the God, or read the word of God mixed with unbelief, and it has no power in it. Are you following what I'm saying? It's the traditions of man that makes the word of God of no effect. That's what Jesus said. So literally, where do you think the traditions of man hang on the inside of a person? Yell it out loud. The belief system. They have a belief system that's wrong, that's contrary to the word of God. And Jesus said, if you have that wrong belief system, holding on to traditions of man that are outside of the word, it hinders the power of God in your life. Listen to this now. There will be times when you will experience so much joy in your relationship with God that it may manifest, listen to me, in a very radical way. Have you ever been so joyful in a service or just at home praising and worshiping that you were dancing like a fool? Come on. Amen. Well, you're in good company because David did the same thing. In 2 Samuel 6:14, it said, David danced before the Lord with all his might. With all of his might. So this dude was having a pretty good aerobic session going on, dancing because of the joy of the Lord in his life. Sometimes the joy will make you look stupid to others. He was dancing so wild and just kind of, a lot of people would say, weird. Weird, right? That his wife, the Bible says, his wife despised him in her heart. That's not a good spouse to have. You want a spouse to encourage that joy of the Lord, right? Husbands, wives, right? Yet he was doing it out of joy toward the Lord and the victory that he gained over his enemies. He was praising God, and David didn't care what his wife thought. David didn't care what anybody thought, amen? David was not out of order. He was just joy, having the joy of the Lord in his life. When's the last time the joy of the Lord caused you to praise God in a radical way? For some, maybe it's been a minute, right? For some, maybe you've never experienced that, but you can get to that place. Think about that. That's what God wants. Having the joy of the Lord will cause you, I like this word, are you ready? Having the joy of the Lord will cause you at times to be undignified in many people's eyes. Say undignified. There's a song, there's an old revival song, it's called Undignified. I will be undignified, right? Have you ever heard that song? I think it's from the Smithton Outpouring, the revival that happened at a small church in Missouri. Small church. I think the population of the city was 500 or less or something like that. And people came from all over the world with what God was doing. And there was a joy breaking out because of what the Holy Spirit was doing. And many times it'll be undignified. And many times there will be people that will be jealous of the freedom that you're gaining. Are you hearing me? Don't put God in a box. He takes pleasure in you being joyful to him. Go to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Hallelujah. Oh, it's time to get undignified. Come on. Can I call anybody up to do a little spin and a twirl up here this morning? No, I'm just kidding. Glory to God. Psalm 1, 1 through 2. Love this. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel or the advice of the ungodly, nor stands in the path or in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law he meditates day and night. Oh, let's go on to 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I like that. Blessed is the, or happy, joyful is the person who delights in the law of the Lord. He meditates in it day and night. How do you know if you're at the point where you're delighting in the Lord, you're delighting in the word of God? Here's how you'll know. You'll think about it day and night. If you're not thinking about it day and night, your delight tank's a little low. Are you following me? Taking delight in God and the word of God will begin to trigger joy on the inside of you as a Christian. The very focus of a blessed or joyful Christian is based on the word of God and his presence. Say his presence. There's something about when you choose to get joyful before the Lord, God wants to manifest his presence in your life. Did you just hear what I said? He wants to manifest because now he feels, are you ready for this? He feels wanted. He feels wanted. How do you feel when you feel unwanted? Do you want to be around a person you feel unwanted by? Huh? Then why do you expect God to do that? It's the same kind of thing. Go to Romans 14. Go to Romans 14. You know, it's very simple. The same dynamics we use in relationships with each other, the same rules apply. Think about it. Somehow we think that we can, you know, just kind of slough God off and push him to the side. And then when we have a problem, we run back and we think that, you know, No. Spend time with him. Nurture that relationship like you would with anybody else. Amen? Now, he'll be there for you when you turn around and run back to him. But why do we always want to be in this run back mode? Why don't we just want to walk with him in this life? Let's just stay with him. Why are we straying? Stay with him in this life. Amen? Romans 14, 17. And it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Here's the deal. You cannot separate joy from the kingdom of God. Let me say it again. You cannot separate joy from the kingdom of God. Now, here's what kingdom means, the kingdom of God. It means where God is ruling. Where God is ruling, where he is the head, he is the main focus, right? You're allowing him to move. And it says that if you're allowing him to move, His kingdom is present. There will be righteousness, peace, and joy there. Several scriptures in the book of Acts refers to cities where the apostles ministered the word of God. And it says this, and there was great joy in that city. And then it says in another place, the disciples were filled with joy. And it says in another place, they caused great joy to all the brethren. Why? Because where the kingdom of God is, there's always going to be joy. Say joy. In Matthew 12, 28, Jesus said, he said this, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom, the rulership of God has come upon you. When you are set free from demonic spirits in your life, I guarantee you one thing, ready? That it will produce joy on the inside of you. Being in bondage, listen, being in bondage to demons can be that dam on the inside that I'm talking about. Because they can't come into your spirit, but they sure can attack your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and your physical body. And what did I say can be the dam to that joy coming forth? Your soul, your mind. And that's what the enemy can be in and needs to be cast out. It's not always from the outside. They could be on the inside in your soul. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They can't be in your spirit. Holy Ghost lives there. Holy Ghost isn't going to share that. Come on, somebody. But you got to realize, so your spirit man's born again. Your soul and body are not. And the soul and body are the two parts where demons can attack. Did you follow what I'm saying here? Very important, because many Christians, they just walk on with blinders on that thing. They don't want to believe demons can have any effect over Christians. Well, of course they can. Are you following me? There's scriptures that says, hey, don't, you know, a Christian, a believer should not give themselves and be connected to a harlot or to a prostitute. Is it possible for a Christian to backslide and get with a prostitute? Right? Do you think they might pick up some spirits doing that? I think so, right? Listen, so when you're set free from that demonic influence, I guarantee you they will produce a joy and a peace on the inside of you. Why? Because the kingdom of God, it says, has come upon you, and the effects of the kingdom of Satan, ready, has been dismantled. Say dismantled. Oh, I like that. I want you to notice the order in the Word of God, what the Word of God gives us of the words righteousness, peace, and joy in Romans 14:17. Righteousness, peace, and joy. When you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which includes imputed righteousness. You know what imputed righteousness means? It means you receive it by faith. You didn't have to do anything for it. Jesus makes you righteous the minute that you become born again. You understand that, right? All right, that's imputed righteousness. And then there's right and holy living. And when those things line up, the other two fruits will follow in your life, peace and joy. If peace and joy are lacking in your life, go back and check the area of righteousness in your life. Have you opened the door to the enemy? Have you, what Ephesians says, have you given place to the enemy? Right? So here's what the Holy Spirit said to me about imputed righteousness. He said, to benefit from imputed righteousness, you must be aware of it and conscious of it. If you're not aware or conscious of it, if you're not aware or conscious of it, here's what happens. You start to identify yourself, come on, as a sinner, not as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Are you following me? The righteousness of God also means this, doing things God's way. So, you know, it's just interesting how we did communion and what the Word of God says about communion. Communion, like I said, when we were doing it, it's a remembering what Jesus did. And part of that remembering is remembering the righteousness that he has given us as Christians by faith in him. Amen? Are you still with me this morning? Yes. All right. Now, Listen to this. So if you take the opposite of Romans 14, 17, it would say something like this. Ready? For the kingdom, or where the kingdom of darkness rules, there is eating and drinking and unrighteousness and worry, anxiety, fear, and heaviness in an unholy spirit. Isn't that interesting? Sometimes it's interesting to look at a scripture flipped from the, let me say that one more time. For where the kingdom of darkness rules, or where the kingdom, the rulership of the enemy, there is eating and drinking and unrighteousness, worry, anxiety, fear, and heaviness in an unholy spirit. It's all about your focus. Say focus. Go to John 15. John 15. We're continuing to move this truck down the road here. John 15. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord. Say the joy of the Lord. Now, some good stuff coming up here. It says, as the Father loved me, Jesus said, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be, maybe a little bit? What is it? That your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. I went a little extra there. But listen to this. Jesus told us to keep his commandments so that his joy would remain. Say remain. In us, and that our joy then would become full. Here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. Are you ready for this? Imputed righteousness, believing it, will get the joy, the joy started in you. But for it to remain and for it to increase, you got to live a holy life. Did you? He said, abide in my love. You abide there. Why? When you stay there, when you abide there, when you walk in obedience, it says, then it's going to remain, not only remain, but your joy tank's going to start rising. Living a life of obedience will cause joy to remain, to grow, and to stay in our heart. Did you hear what I said? Oh, my goodness. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost wants us to be full of joy and wants us to live our entire life from a mindset of joy. Because the joy of the Lord, what does it say, is our strength, right? Say strength. It helps us to overcome trials, hardships, tragedies that we may face on this earth. Now, newly saved Christians, what happened to you when you first got born again? Did you have some joy in the Lord? But what happens when they start to make decisions, they take the wrong off-ramps, they start to not walk in obedience to the Lord? What happens to that joy? Right? This reveals, this proves my point exactly what I'm talking about right now. There are two sides of righteousness. The imputed, freely given by faith in Jesus Christ. And then there's holy living. It's like a righteousness is a coin. There's two sides to it. Imputed and living a holy life. If it's imputed and you're keeping your mind focused on that we are the righteousness of Christ, what are you going to start doing? You're going to start walking in obedience. The moment you lose sight of that imputed righteousness and you took hold of a lie from the enemy and you think of yourself as less, that's how you're going to live, and you're going to fall right into sin. Is anybody hearing me right now? So again, there are two sides of righteousness. The work that Jesus accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection, and the holy life, or what James calls as says this, being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Now, real quick, go with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. I want to show you something here. The Holy Spirit gave me a little more insight on Psalm 51 that I want to share with you. Jesus said, abide in me. so your joy will remain and it will be full. If we don't abide in him, your joy tank's going to be lost. You got to fill it back up. Amen? Why do we want to keep doing that? Who wants to remain in that place? We need consistency in our walk with God. There needs to be a consistency. We're too in and out at times, aren't we? Yeah. Wishy-washy, right? All right, Psalm 51, 10 through 12. It's called discipline. I saw a meme on Facebook this week. It says, discipline can be boring until you see the results of it. Discipline can seem boring, doing the same thing until you see the results it brings into your life. Oh, hallelujah. Look at this, Psalm 51, 10 through 12. We heard it many times. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Not a heart that's going in and out, sin, back to God, sin, repent, sin, back. No. A steadfast. I'm going to stay with you, God. I'm going to obey you no matter what. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Here it is. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Now, create in me a clean heart. This is interesting because I guess I'd never seen this way before. The Holy Spirit spoke this to me. I don't know why I didn't see it. I talk about this topic all the time, but the Holy Spirit connected it. I guess that's what's called progressive revelation, right? We learn more as we go with the Lord. Create in me a clean and pure heart. He's saying this. This is what David's saying. Whatever fleshly beliefs and mindsets that are against you, that are against your word. This is what he's saying. Ready? Correct my belief system in my heart. Correct my belief system. Correct me of the lies that I'm believing. Correct me of anything that's taking my focus off of you in my heart. Create in me a clean and pure heart. Clean up my belief system. You hear? Anybody ever thought of that before? Because I haven't. Create in me that belief system, the core part of who I am, everything I believe, that belief system. Lord, create a new one in me. Create a righteous one in me. David cried out to God and said, do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. True joy comes and manifests when you are living a holy life and dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, when you're abiding in Christ. Listen to Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11 is powerful. It says, you will show me the path of life, living a holy life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, through Jesus Christ, are pleasures forevermore. Oh my. In the presence of God, there is a fullness of joy. Did anybody feel joy during praise and worship today with the presence of God flowing? Amen. I did too. It is there in the presence of God. It's there. When his presence manifests, that joy is there. Now, here's what you can do. You can put 10 people in a room. The presence of God is so thick, you could take a knife and you could cut a sliver of it out like a pie. And you're going to have some that say, woo, his presence was so thick. And then you might have someone say, I didn't feel anything. Right? And so the question is this then. Are you going to flow with that joy in the presence of God when he manifests? Are you going to focus on him? Are you going to take advantage of it? Or will you choose to maintain a hardened heart and not flow in the joy of the Lord? Again, it's the same concept of that we can read the Word of God from front to back, Genesis to Revelation, and if there's not faith mixed in with it, it profits us nothing. Are you following me? The presence of God can manifest, but if there's no desire, if there's no focus on him, it profits you nothing. It's a positive versus a negative mindset, and it's your choice. Say, it's my choice. from Psalm 16 and Psalm 51, you could say that sin in your life, unconfessed sin, it disqualifies you from enjoying the presence of God to the degree that God wants you to experience it. It just does. Well, I don't like that, Pastor James. It just does. That's the fruit of a life of disobedience. What can I say? We're not a mega church, a seeker-sensitive church here. We're not. I'm going to tell it to you like it is. Whether you come back next week, great. If you don't, great. Guess what? We're going to keep preaching the word anyways. It is what it is. You either flow or you go. Oh, come on. Huh. You either flow or you go. You're either going to flow with the living waters, the family here, or you're going to go. Right? Hallelujah. But David said this, restore to me the joy of your salvation. So evidently there's a joy connected to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Joy comes with the package of salvation through Jesus Christ. But you must receive the package. You must receive the provision of it. We must choose, come on, to partake of that package. You must choose to focus on God and his word and live a life of obedience. You got to choose that for yourself. God can't even choose that for you. Name anything God can't do. He can't force you to obey him. I bet he wishes he could, but he doesn't. That's why there's people in hell right now. That's why there's people that's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. We don't want that for you. Amen. We don't want that for anybody. We are the ones that put the fire of joy out in our lives. We need to get it. We need to be restored back to God's original intent and purpose for our life. Now look at Psalm 51, 12 through 13. Let me show you something about this. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Ooh, the Holy Ghost is generous. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Listen to this. Are you ready? This is the importance of the joy of the Lord. So, you know, a lot of times we're just thinking, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? No, here's where you're wrong. It's not about you. Here's what it is. The amount of joy that we possess in our life as a Christian will determine the fruitfulness of our evangelism efforts toward the unsaved. Amen. Let me explain. The joy of the Lord is what really motivates us to share Christ with others. A Christian that is negative, faithless, and full of heaviness, I guarantee you, you have no desire to share the gospel with others because it's not even affecting you. You can't give away what you don't have. Come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit uses our joy and the other fruit of the Spirit as a tool. Really, he uses it as bait to draw others to Jesus. We're called fishers of men. And if we're going to go fishing, come on, Rich, we need some bait, don't we? We need some bait. We need that bait for when we go out and we evangelize. And I guarantee you, if you have the joy of the Lord, someone's going to say, I want what you have. Well, really what they're seeing is the kingdom within you, righteousness, peace, and joy. All of a sudden, it just clicks in them that they're a slave to sin, that they're in bondage to something else. And they say, I want what you have. There's the bait. Hallelujah. They see a person that has the God-shaped hole filled in their heart that only Jesus Christ can fill, and they want that. Like I said, the gospel means good news. Say good news. We as Christians are possessors of, carriers of, ambassadors of, preachers of, come on, good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. And that covers every area of our life on this earth. We ought to be lighting fires of joy everywhere we go with the gospel, just like Jesus did, because we're his representative. We're supposed to walk as Jesus walked on this earth. When Jesus left, he didn't say, okay, now you're gonna be preaching the gospel, but you're gonna be a little depressed now. You're not gonna wanna wake up in the morning. You're gonna wanna take your own life every morning. No, come on. We're to walk as Jesus walked, and Jesus had joy. And maybe at times, maybe there's some times, come on, just like Jesus, you have to flip a few tables. Are you following me? How many of you know there's times you got to flip some tables, unfortunately? So the word of God in Nehemiah 8:10, as I've been preaching even the last couple weeks, it refers to the joy of the Lord as our strength. The devil is out to steal our joy as a Christian because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is connected to this, the level of faith that you possess in your heart and in your belief system. If the devil can steal your joy, he knows that it will affect your faith in the Word of God. He knows it will affect your life personally. He knows it will affect, here's the bigger picture, zoom out, your evangelism efforts. Because he wants as many people to go to hell with him and the lake of fire as possible. Don't let it happen on your watch. You've been put on this earth for such a time as this, in this time frame. Don't cower it out now. Are you following me? Don't stop now, no matter what, no matter who's against you. You keep going, amen? A joyless Christian is weak, powerless, and faithless, and not effective in life and ministry at all. Why? Because that joy of the Lord is our strength. Quickly, go to Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12. You guys are real troopers, I got to tell you, with my longer messages, because I have to edit my messages for the podcast on the Luke 4:18 radio network. And so I have to sit there and listen to my whole message. And I'm toward the end, I'm like, oh, wow, the people really, they really hang in there. They really hang in there. I'm thinking, and I said several times, I'm like, all right, I'm almost done. And then I go another 17 minutes. I'm like, I got to stop saying that. You know, huh? Never noticed, right? All right, real quick. There you go. Amen, amen. All right, Isaiah 12, 1 through 6. Oh, Lord, I will praise you. Though you are angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Let's just stop right there. It says, with joy, you will draw water out of the well of salvation. Why is the joy of the Lord of our strength? Because joy is a fruit of faith. And faith causes the promises of God to be manifested in the natural realm. If you truly believe in the promises of God and his word, you will be full of joy and rejoice in them. The Bible says that it's joy that draws water out of that the wells of salvation. And here's what the Holy Spirit showed me here. I'm on the last page, by the way. In the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is referred to as water, living waters. So your joy, your faith gives permission to the Holy Spirit. Ready? To move in a greater way, in and through you. That's why your joy is drawing water out. Come on, out of the well of salvation. Actually, it talks about wells in another part. Say wells, more than one. 1 Peter 1:3-9, read it on your own. Verse 8 says, though now you do not see him, Jesus, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. It says, your joy hinges on one thing this morning. Are you ready for this? It's not happenstance. It's not going to strike you with like lightning. Lord, just strike me with lightning. Make me laugh. Make me do this. Make me have that. No. Here's what it is. Your joy hinges on one thing. Believing. The level of your faith. And to be able to believe, you need to focus on Jesus, not your storm, not negativity with outward circumstances. Amen? So do you need the joy of God's salvation restored in your life today? Connect the wires properly by repenting of any known sin in your life. and choose to believe and rejoice in the promises in the Word of God. Choose to take comfort in the Word of God. Choose to cast your cares upon God. Choose to learn to lean on Him. No matter what is going on in your life, we need to believe the best and not the worst. Amen? And don't ever forget, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So do whatever it takes to get it and do whatever it takes. Come on, to maintain it in your life. Let's stand up in this place. The joy of the Lord. Prayer team, come on forward. Hallelujah. Maybe you're in this place, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Today is the day of salvation. Do not leave this building. I'm begging you, do not leave this building without making Jesus Lord of your life, because you don't know when you'll take your last breath. Now, maybe there's someone in here, you feel like you lost your joy. You took a wrong exit, wrong off-ramp. You've gotten outside of the will of God for your life. But today, you want that joy of the Lord. You want to get back in right standing. If that's you, I want you to come forward and just ask for prayer and say, I want the joy of the Lord, His salvation to be restored in my life. Amen. If you want the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. They'll talk to you and pray with you. If you need prayer for anything else, come on down. All right, Marianne.
What a great Pastor, do you want to do your dance, your joy dance that you do every single day?
I'll practice it. I'll be back with you.
Oh, he don't need practice. Trust me. We definitely have the joy of the Lord in our house. So just a few announcements. So just make sure to grab a newsletter that has all of LWC's events on it. That's right by the door as you're walking out. There's a new one for September. Next Saturday, or this coming Saturday, we have the Women's Floating Fellowship at Josette's house, and that is from 9 to 10:30, so ladies 18 and up, there's a sign-up sheet in the back, so please sign up for that and come to Josette's house for, and if you need her address, just come to me or Josette. And then we need volunteers always for Children's Church and Nursery. See me for Children's Church and Stacy for Nursery. We have a lot of new events coming in October, so we're excited to announce those. And Pastor wanted me to mention, just so you can get on the calendar, we're going to have, we're starting up the healing and deliverance services again, and that's going to be November 1st at 7 p.m. here. So invite people out and have a great Sunday. We love you all, and make sure to keep that joy full, right? Joyful, right?